Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 122. I'm Rob Wright, editor of Search Security, and I am here once again with my site editor, Peter Loschen. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Rob.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
It's a little warm. It's a little warm here in Chernobyl. We haven't been here in a while. We've had a hot couple of days the last few days. And yes, we're in the cozy confines of our little podcast studio here, Chernobyl. It's good to be back. We haven't done this in a while.
Good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. We have an interesting little discussion for today. Touches on a lot of things. Touches on mobile security, video games, responsible disclosure, which we love. It seems like it's all we talk about these days. So recently, there was an issue with the developer of Fortnite, the super popular, crazy popular video game, Fortnite. I'm not really a Fortnite guy. That's neither here nor there, but it's huge. Like, everyone plays it. Kids are going gaga over it. It's huge. It's a phenomena.
Is it bigger than Pokemon Go?
See, Pokemon Go, I'm glad you brought that up, because somebody asked me, was there ever a bigger game? And I thought to myself, well, Pokemon Go was pretty darn big. But after, I guess it was last summer, it kind of, you didn't hear much about it after that. Like, it was huge for a few months, for like the summer, and then it kind of dissipated. I'm sure some people still play it. Fortnite, it seems like it's got more staying power. It's huge. And it's a fun game. It's just, it's not really my thing. Anyway, Epic Games not long ago came out and said, we're going to make a mobile version of Fortnite, mobile app, and we don't want to go through the Google Play Store. We're going to sell it direct. We're going to develop our own installer, and we're going to sell it direct, and you can sideload it, and you're off to the races. It's great. A lot of people said, Peter, I'm sure you saw them say it, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't do that. You should go through the app stores. Now, they went through the Apple App Store. I guess they didn't go through the Google. Well, I guess they went through the Apple Store because it's harder to kind of get apps on.
Yeah, getting an app on an Apple product is a lot harder.
It's more problematic, I guess, I'd say.
Yeah.
So they decided to go around the Google Play Store. And when I first saw, I don't know if you remember this, we had a discussion, I think we had it on Slack, Mike and I. I said, I don't have any issue with that idea, that plan. My thinking was, Epic's, you know, Fortnite is big enough. Epic is a big enough company that they can sell direct to users if they want. They've got to be able to figure out a good way to develop the app and deliver it, and I'm sure they're going to do a great job with it. So why pay the 30% to Google that you would pay if it was hosted in the Google Play Store? Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
However.
Logically. However.
Yes.
Please go ahead.
So I guess my mistake was thinking that Epic was going to have its InfoSec ducks in a row. It did not. And there were things that I didn't realize about sort of the benefits of going through the Google Play Store that Michael Heller, senior reporter who wrote the story for us, that I hadn't really considered, that he could sort of clued me into later, which I'll get to. So they released the mobile version, Android version of Fortnite. It comes out. A Google employee looks at it and says, wow, there's a man-in-the-disk attack vulnerability here, and it's not good, and it needs to be fixed. Notifies Epic Games on August 15th, so not long, I guess, after it came out. Epic patched it within 24 hours. Great. This all has the makings of a great story, right? Very, very.
A feel-good story.
Yeah. A feel-good Fortnite story. No. So what ended up happening was they developed a patch for it. They rolled it out, and they went to Google. And it's in the tracking notes for this vulnerability in Google. They said, we'd like you to hold off on the public disclosure for this for 3 months. We want to make sure these users have enough time to to deploy the patch, to update their apps. And Google said, hey, great, that's fine that you're asking, but our policy is, and it's a strict policy, 7 days after the patch is rolled out, that's when public disclosure happens.
And but so let me understand this.
Yes.
Is it always 7 days, or is it only 7 days if there's being an active exploit?
No, I think it's even – I think there's – if I remember correctly, there are caveats if it's under attack or if it's being actively exploited. If it's not, if it's just you found the vulnerability, nobody knows about it, it's been patched, the patch is rolled out, 7 days.
7 days.
7 days. And there's no – right, there's no sort of exceptions to that.
Well, but I imagine if there was a really good reason, I can't imagine what the reason would be, but I imagine that if somebody, that if a vendor came out to Google and said, could you give us an extra week or an extra month because here's this really good reason, my guess is that they might consider it, but it would have to be a good reason.
It'd have to be a really good reason. And what Epic was, I guess, what they countered with was not a good reason. They basically said, we need 90 days. We need to make sure everybody updates the app. The app doesn't update unless it's opened. And we can't, like, they can't just roll out because they went around the App Store. They can't just, like, issue a, you know, an update through Google Play. Like they can't, that's not how it goes. And so Epic got upset about this.
Yeah, they did.
They got really upset. Epic CEO Tim Sweeney, let me see. I want to make sure I get the wording on this right because it's important. When following the disclosure, following when this all came to light, and obviously a lot of media attention, us included, Sweeney said on Twitter, "The only irresponsible thing here is Google's rapid public release of technical details." He was responding to some commentary who said, hey, why did you let this, you went around the Google Play Store and you know, someone on Twitter was adding him and said, you released your game and it's got a problem and, how could you? And he's like, the only thing irresponsible here is Google's release of the public details. He went on to say, quote, "We asked Google to hold the disclosure until the update was more widely installed. They refused, creating an unnecessary risk for Android users in order to score cheap PR points." Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It would be really harsh if that was what Google does a lot of.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really grubbing for PR exposure, are they?
I don't think so. No. So here's the thing. We just did that story. I did that story about the Meltdown inspector disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Project Zero does that opened my eyes. Like Project Zero is so isolated and so committed to its policy, its guidelines, its standards, its rules. I mean, they're like laws that they didn't inform. One of their guys found Meltdown Inspector. They didn't even tell Google. They gave it to Intel and ARM and AMD, and they said, you tell them it's your vulnerability. That's the policy. And they didn't find out for 45 days because the chip makers just sat there and said, well, of course they know. Of course they've been told.
How could they not know?
How could they not know? Sure, Jan Horn probably, Jan and Tavis and all the gang over there, Project Zero, got together over pizzas and said, look at this.
Yeah, of course.
That's not what happened.
Of course it's not.
But Peter, there were other people out there that really kind of like, they sort of supported what he said. They backed up sort of the criticism that Sweeney had of Google. I'll read some of it here. There was a gentleman from Kenna Security, chief security engineer, or lead security engineer, I think, Jerry Gamblin, wrote on Twitter. This was particularly interesting. He wrote, this is great. At this point, it is clear that Project Zero is just a highly skilled red team that Google uses to bully its competition, right? Question mark. No.
Oh, man.
I mean, first of all, Project Zero, it turns out, like the person that found this was not part of Project Zero. It was just – it was someone else in Google apparently that said, oh, Fortnite? I'll take a look at this. And why wouldn't you? Because – it's Fortnite. It's a phenomenon. It's huge. It's going to be all over your devices.
Yeah, especially if you're Google and Fortnite is distributing Android software out of band, out of the App Store. You've got all this unvetted software running on your devices if you're Google, and you do want to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually surprised that – and maybe they did put – maybe Google did or someone within Project Zero did say – let's start analyzing this right now. Because if I were them, or if I was like, if I was anyone within a company that like a platform company that had a big app coming out and you knew it was going to be everywhere, you knew millions of people were going to be downloading it, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe take a couple engineers, a couple researchers, we'll put them on this just to make sure it's not a complete bleep show. Because we don't want, especially with an installer. I mean, why wouldn't you have somebody look at it, right?
Of course.
Like an installer. I mean, this is like not worst case scenario, but it is one of the worst scenarios that if you're Google, if you're the people at Android, like you don't want somebody getting a hold of this installer and saying, ah, now I can install anything I want on any device. I've got a viable man in the disk attack, and I'm off to the races. I'd want to know about that.
Yeah.
So, I thought the criticism, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you feel differently, but I thought the criticism here was...
No, I'm with you. I think it's good to have rules and standards, and I'm not going to go so far as to say laws, but I think you've got processes here, and you've got devices here, and you've got some of the ecosystems are so bound together that if you're pushing out millions of copies of code onto millions of devices that are bypassing for a savings. I mean, granted, it's a lot of money that they're saving.
Yep.
I mean,
a lot.
I don't think, you know, thinking about it, is 30% too much? I'm not going to say it is. I'm not going to say it isn't.
Yeah.
What it reminded me of, though, was when I was writing my first books, and we're going back over 20 years.
Yeah.
Contracts. I get these contracts, and they're dense, and they definitely favor the publisher, and blah blah blah. Bottom line, one thing that I really liked: 50% royalty on electronically distributed books that were sold that I wrote. And I thought, wow, that's going to be great, because like even if they discount them deeply, I'm still going to make a lot of money when people buy these books in digital form. Because that was before there was any kind of infrastructure for distributing books in digital form. Once that started popping up, and we're talking like I want to say maybe 5 or 10 years later, I started getting these waiver forms or some kind of legal forms that I had to sign, which basically said, we're revising the terms of your contracts. We're no longer giving 50% royalties on books that we never bothered to sell it
right
digitally because we didn't know how. Now that we figured it out, we're going to give you 10%.
Is that true?
I want to say 10%. It might have been 15%. It might have been less. It might have been 12. Who knows?
Wow.
But that's basically the bottom line, is once they figured out how to do it, they found out that it's not as simple and it's not as cost-free as they initially thought, or they realized that they can sell the online versions of the books for as much as they sell the print versions of the book. So they don't need to sweeten the pot for me to go for the deal, as long as I'm getting about the same amount for every book.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like 30% royalties on publishing this stuff, it seems like a lot, but you know what? You get a lot from it.
Yep.
And I'm going to bet that the people at Epic, had they Ultimately, the processes that they used and the impact of the whole of all of the fallout from this might have cost them about 30% of their gross receipts,
maybe.
Way or another. I mean, because they have to pay for PR support incident response and whatever else they've got to deal with, like all the fallout.
Yeah,
that's my two cents on the whole thing. I think it also shows that there's probably a market for another, for some independent vendor to get up and stand up a whole infrastructure for distributing software where everything is vetted. I mean, and you know what? I would pay double for every single app that I, well, first of all, I don't buy apps anymore.
You're like me, you're zero app or nearly zero app.
Well, yeah, just about because I don't want to buy an app that's really useful and then, but it's a kind of a hassle to maintain and have the maintainer sell it to some scammers, which we've seen happen in the past. I want, and I also don't want to buy an app that's going to open up all of my data to the people that run the app. So I would pay double or even triple for an app. I'd even pay a subscription fee for apps to make sure to a distributor who makes sure that they're secure, that they're not doing anything they're not supposed to do, and that they don't take any more data from me than, or expose any more of my data than I want. And if Google and Apple were willing to do that, I would pay their fees too. But you know, here's an opportunity, and it's not even, you know, it's a cyber security opportunity that isn't against the law. So
I don't have any issue with Epic, like I said, going around the App Store. I mean, if you're big enough and you don't need the Play Store as a platform to sell to you already have a built-in audience, go ahead and do it. If you're going to do it right. And, like, this is the thing that really upsets me about what Sweeney said. Sweeney's talking about this as cheap PR points. It's not. It's not. It's security.
Yeah.
Right? They went out and they found an issue. That's free pen testing. It's free vulnerability research that they just gave you. If they hadn't done anything, you would have this glaring hole in your, and who knows what who might have found it or who might have taken advantage of it. Mm. I mean, they should be a little bit more grateful for a researcher finding this and bringing it to their attention so they could fix it. And don't give me this sob story about, oh, we can't get it out to as many people. Look, if you didn't think about that before you decided to go around the App Store, but the Google Play Store, if you didn't think about how you were going to push patches out in an effective manner, then that's on you. Like, that's not on Google. That's their policy. It's right there. And for them to change it because you don't have the right systems in place to pull this off, like, give me a break. Like, you're the one that pushed out the app. No one forced you to do it. It had a flaw. Someone else found it. Move on. Be grateful someone else found it, not a hacker. It really aggravates me. Because it gives, I mean, there's a bunch of people out there, and I know there's probably people in the gaming community and other developers that are sitting there going, well, that's totally unfair what Google did. They're just trying to embarrass Google. Trying to embarrass Google. Is that more embarrassing than if somebody got a hold of that flaw and started exploiting it and you had millions of Fortnite players suddenly getting pwned? What's more embarrassing? Sorry, it's getting hot in here.
Yeah, no. I mean,
But it gives security research a bad name. Like, people are like, oh, stupid Project Zero, stupid bug finders, so unfair. Policies are so unfair. Like, give me a break. Get your house in order, man.
Yeah, I mean, how would they? I'm sure that if the shoe was on the other foot, whatever the implications of that actually are, which I can't even imagine. But yeah, like, there's a lot of people that find things to whine about when they get called out for their failures. I don't want to call it a failure.
It's not. Just, everybody has vulnerabilities. Yeah. We're not going to vulnerability shame.
But the whole this whole this whole the concept of saying, "Oh, give us a break, give us three months instead of 7 days."
90 days, man.
That's a lot. And you know what it reminds me of a lot is the whole situation with Symantec's certificate authority.
Oh, yeah,
business, their whole business, which rather than just accepting that they've got problems and they need to fix them,
just go and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go hire lawyers to go stand in front of the standards bodies and start arguing your case. I mean, come on. That doesn't help anybody. It just makes you look bad.
Yeah, the vulnerability is not the issue here. I don't expect any – especially games. God, I mean, I covered games. I know what this is like. They devote tons of people to do QA and testing, and games still ship with bugs that impact the gameplay, the performance. We're not even talking about security. Mm-hmm. Like that's an area that does not get really any attention because there's so much time and money and energy being spent on finding other bugs that impact, like I said, the performance and the playability. I mean, come on. Like it's the reaction to it that really, really upsets me. And I just don't understand, like, did these guys not get security? Like, did they were just like, well, we're going to go around the app store and it'll be fine. I mean, the thing that really irks me, too, is this idea that they need 90 days to push this patch out, to make sure everybody's patched. Like, if you want to make sure everybody's patched, how about this? The next time you log into Fortnite, a big advisory on the home screen that says, oh, by the way, everybody, update your Android app because there's, you know, this is a security advisory. They would get the message really quick.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they didn't do it. I don't play anymore, but I haven't read anything that they did do that. And again, if you don't have the right, like, install, okay, you got an installer, it's got a flaw, fine. Figure out a way to push the updates out. Figure out a better way. Don't wait till these people like turn the app on for the first time. I mean, man, I'm gonna blame this on Google. Give me a break.
Right. Sorry. I mean, no, I don't apologize. Google would have been a great way for them to distribute the update if they had paid the 30%. I mean, I don't want to get into the numbers because even back of the envelope here, like I'm totally out of my depth,
but right.
The fact that they saved 30%, that they got 30%, well, it's not 30% more. They avoided paying 30% of their revenue.
Right. Right.
They improved their revenue on this particular product by 35% of or 30% of over 70. So almost like they got almost 50% more than they would have gotten if they'd have gone through Google App Store.
Yeah, see, this is all Google math. Play. I'm a journalism major, but yeah, I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, because instead of getting 70 cents for a thing that costs a dollar, they get a dollar. Now, so they got 30 cents extra on every single dollar that they would have gotten through the Play Store, through Google Play. That means that they have all this money jangling around in their pockets, which you would think they would use to build the infrastructure to distribute their product. But if they said, oh, you know what? This feels good in my pocket. I like my wallet to be nice and fat with all these, you know.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
It's a business decision that they made, which was the wrong one.
Yeah. I mean, from a business perspective, like I said, it could have been the right one. From an InfoSec perspective, not good. And here's the thing. I know, having covered games, like I know how sensitive game developers are to paying publisher royalties. Like the publishers in, you know, whether it's console or PC, like they made money off the backs of developers, you know, 50, 60% of the revenue for these games for years. And they finally figured out a way, you know, with the internet, it just sell direct. Sell digital, sell direct. Great, great. God bless. Go with God. I love it. I love it. I want more money in the pockets of the developers, the companies that create the actual games, that create the content. Good for them. Love you, Tim Sweeney. Love you, mean it. However, don't turn around and say, well, now Google's just out to get us. Like, no, man, this is on you. This is on you. If you didn't have the right system in place to push this game out and the right app, that's on you. And you're making it worse by turning around and blaming Google like they had it out for you, like they were doing this to embarrass you. You're making it worse, man, because all you had to do was just say, thanks, we'll take care of it. We wish we had a longer time. How about this? We're interested in having an industry discussion about the merits of a 7-day, you know, a hard 7-day waiting period before public disclosure. After I'll have that discussion. I don't know. I mean, 7 days to me, like, I'm with the 7 days because I don't think people, I think if you gave people 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, still not going to update unless you tell them, at least enterprise users, until you tell them, this is serious, it's being exploited, or it's a critical vulnerability or whatever, here are the details, you need to address it now. Just saying, oh, please update, I don't think it works. So I think the 7-day disclosure is good, but maybe, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. You're like,
once the bug has been announced, the vulnerability has been announced, and once the patch has been rolled out, the malicious actors are taking that stuff and trying to figure out what got patched.
Absolutely.
And giving them 90 days to dig through it before you expose it to the rest of the world, I mean, that doesn't seem fair. And there's one other point. I mean, I don't know anything about gaming. That's just, I'm a dinosaur.
I will be your Sherpa.
You will be.
Up the gaming mountain.
I mean, Epic Games, I think they're big.
Huge.
They're huge. Are they as big as Google?
Come on. Come on now. Okay. No one's as big as Google.
Right, exactly. So I miffed an opportunity to use the Alice Goldfuss remark that she says to people who are trying to do very elaborate things in the cloud. And her question to those people is, are you Google?
Okay.
I mean, they're not. They're big. They're huge. But they're not Google. Yep. And like Google, Google's bottom line has probably not been affected as much by this whole situation, by the fact that Epic decided to distribute outside of the Google Play. I mean, it would have been nice, but I think that's the difference in their revenue for the year is probably minuscule.
Yeah, and I just, like I said, if you want to have a discussion about the merits of the 7-day waiting period in this policy, and if it, let's commission a study, let's get some data, let's find out, do people, if you give them more time, do they really just do it on their own? If you tell them there's no like real vulnerability, or they just like, here's a security update on my app. Like, how many people really sort of say, okay, let's update. Let's update and let's watch the app spin for a while. Maybe it updates correctly, maybe it doesn't. How much battery power is it going to suck? You can tell where I stand on this. But let's do it. Let's have that discussion. But to turn around and go at Google like that, cheap PR points. Give me a break.
Yeah, that was
bad.
Bad look. Bad. Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe we should wrap it up here because I don't think we can go any harder at this than I've. I got pretty fired up.
I think it's a good place to stop.
Yeah, yeah. I came in here. I built my fort. I defended it.
You did.
I really did. Defended my turf.
Totally, totally, totally with you on this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. No, I think we're probably out of fuel at this point. So, Peter, thank you for discussing. I hope maybe I gave you a little bit of knowledge about gaming and Fortnite. Yes?
Sure.
I'll get you on Fortnite. We'll play together. Just not the Android version.
Yeah, not the Android version. I don't have an Android device.
So, yeah.
So I'm good. I'm good there.
Well, thank you for, as usual, for joining me in this discussion.
Always glad to be here.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we'll see you next time.